I was wondering, Abbas, I had a thought today that we find something unique with regards to mitzvah sipur yetzias mitzrayim. We find that, you see, when we shokel the lulav, when we do mitzvahs netilas lulav, so we look at the Mishnah Berurah how to do it. There's a mitzvah d'oraisa, and there's the rabbanon, there's a minhagim. Okay, so we know how to fulfill the mitzvah of dalet minim. Okay, fine, we know exactly how to do it. There's a prescribed, instructed way how we do it. When it comes to lighting the menorah, it's very much, we know how to do it. Okay, there's machloikas, I hear that, but once you know which opinion you want to follow, you know how to do it, right? You start with one, you go to two, and you know, all the mitzvahs that we've got, we know how to lay in the Megillas Esther, we know how to do things, pretty much. And we've got very clear directives and instructions how to do that. When it comes to mitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, there is something which is very, very loose. Can I use the word loose? Very unprescribed, very in very not, what's the word?
Imprecise,
yeah? The mitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Sipur by definition means to, pardon? Loosely defined. So of course, yes, we've got the Haggadah, but that itself, the Haggadah itself, you can fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim without the Haggadah, to be perfectly honest, right? We do it, and we do it for centuries already, but really, 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 if you can't fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim without the Haggadah, the actual text of the Haggadah is not the Reisa or the Rabbon or anything, that's what we do, but you can't fulfill the mitzvah without it. And more than that, if we do the Haggadah, I think we all agree that if a person just goes through the Haggadah from Ha Lachmania and he goes until the end, if he just reads it and he if he just reads it, I think we all agree that's a pretty dry Seder. You can't just read it and then by the four sons, everybody's sleeping already. You can't just go through the text of the Haggadah. So there's something which is very loose. It's not like you can't just like follow the textbook kind of thing. It has to be a bit more, has to be different. So why is that? Why is mitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim so different than all the other mitzvahs? And the answer is poshut, but it's just that what? Yeah. Very good. So that's pretty much where I'm going. That there is something about mitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim that it has to be a personal experience. I think that's really the point. I think the obligation, that's what's so difficult about it. But the whole idea of mitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, it has to be a personal experience. We need to experience it ourselves. And if it would be too directed and the instructions would be too precise, then we would not have that individual kind of, we're just reading textbook and next, okay, next, next. And the whole idea of it is that we need to personalize it a little bit and think about how we apply it in our day and age and with our own lives. And what does the forebodding mean to us nowadays? And what's Avdus nowadays? What's Cheirus nowadays? And all those key questions is not just about what it was, but obviously it has to be extremely, extremely relevant to our day and age. What's poverty nowadays? Is poverty just financial poverty? No, perhaps poverty means something else. What does Cheirus mean nowadays? What does Avdus mean nowadays? All those concepts, which are extremely relevant today, we have to think about it a little bit and personalize it. It's only going to be a meaningful Seder. It's only going to be a powerful, inspirational Seder if we actually individualize it. We just don't just do textbook kind of.
The way we do the Korban Pesach demonstrates that the collective aspects and the individualistic aspects, yeah, of how we relate to it.
Absolutely.
For example, one woman would
have to be
a group. Once
has to be the group,
once
yeah.
You're in a group, you can't leave the group.
You can't leave the group, that's right.
And other aspects of it, certain aspects of it demonstrate the individual, our individual.
Absolutely, yeah. It has to be Al-Manuyov, it has to be, you have to know who is going to be part of the group, so there's that aspect as well in it. Yeah, absolutely.
And he also goes into how the individual becomes a collective.
Who is that? Who are you quoting?
Rakesh. Right. Talks about how the Eden remained, how the Eden remained special and unique, and not weren't swallowed into the 50th thing of Tumah. But one of them was Tarshish Shbacha, and going down the generation from that uniqueness being going
very
down
nice
from the individual, from the collective,
to
the individual,
individual
the family,
very nice,
to the collective, to the whole, yeah.
Very good, very nice, yeah. So, right, very good. So that's that would be one example, absolutely, yeah. So we've got, so the point that we're making over here is just simply that it needs to be a personalized experience, and it can't just be rattling off somebody else. It can't just be, but we need to experience, it needs to be an experience that we feel ourselves, we sense ourselves. Obviously, there needs a bit of preparation and a bit of thought in advance. What is, how are we going to spend those few hours on Leila Seder to best transmit that torch to the next generation, and how to best transmit it to our families? And that's really, Taki is a challenge, but we need to think about it in advance a little bit in order to give that, to be part of that Masurim, part of that link, part of that chain to future generations. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, we're up to 17:9. I'd like to finish the simon tonight. We'll be talking about once again, perhaps about the hotel shaila, because there's an additional kinach over here. Sivov. Who can relate to that? Who can relate to that? Mishesh lechamisha noshim. Whoever's got five wives. Five wives. Yeah. It does indeed, yes.
Five kitchens to clean.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay, so Misha is five servants. Mekablimen upras, and they get food from this man. Fekolechot oichal beveis, and they all eat individually. So the five servants, they will get his food from this man, but they're eating in different places. Also, a Talmud who gets food from his Rebbe, from his teacher, from his mentor, and he eats in his own personal house. That's not considered in own residence. So, the point being that they're not going to ask her. That's the connection is too close, and we're not considered as individual places. They will not ask one another. So about him, this one might be relevant. No, the sifres. So we've seen earlier. So about him, if you've got 10 houses, one in front of the other, and you have to go through one another in order to reach the end. So we spoke about that scenario earlier. And you go out from the external one, lechotz into the chotzer. So there's the chotzer, and there's ten flats, one behind the other. Only the two internal ones, only the internal ones need an eruv, and all the front ones are potur. Is the word antechamber, anteroom? Is that word?
Antechamber.
Antechamber?
Before the main.
Yes. Okay, so on a Beis Shah, antechamber, is exempt from Eruv, and here we've got eight antechambers, because they're all leading to the internal two, and only those two are Chayv Be Eruv. Finally, Sif Ches, pardon? Yes.
So why is that?
Number one and two. Yeah, so that we had an explanation earlier, because Mishnah Berurah explains in Sifkot Nun Aleph here as well, in two lines into Sifkot Nun Aleph. Afal Gav, the Asheni Av Beis Shah Lepnim, although the second one is an antechamber for the most inner one, Sh'over Derech Cholov, you pass that one, Lomisbatel Meturas Bais, Ali Dezei, doesn't become it doesn't lose its name. House from it, his residence, is still called the residence. Why? Because it's a Beis Shad Yochid. An antechamber, he's only part if it's from numerous houses. If it's a Beis Shad of one house, it's still called a house. So, now, Sif Ches, that could be a shayla of a hotel. And it reminds me a bit of a of a childhood memory to have. Somebody who is in a misareach b'chotzer, a guest in a chotzer. Even if he's a guest, a visitor in his own house, if he's not permanently there, just on a temporary basis there, 30 days or less, a guest does not asa the chotzer, is not considered a resident if it's less than 30 days and is not called part of the chotzer. Vehu vehem pturim mutorim, and they don't asa and it's mutter. Ben bevei soy, ben bevei som, whether it's in his house. If you're less than 30 days around, you're not chayv, you're not part of the ev chatzers. Even if there's many oichim and only one balabais, that's only if there's one balabais and many guests. Then all the visitors, the guests, are considered bottled towards the balabais. But if there's only visitors, only guests, nobody but them, they will ask her. Then they will ask her. So that will be again relevant to the hotel. Okay, so the hotel. Does this heter apply to the hotel shayad or not? Okay. So again, we're learning over here that people who are for 30 days or less, they're not considered, they don't need the nei of chatzeres. But that's only if there is a balabais around. So if there's a balabais around, then everybody who comes for less than 30 days, they're a bottle, they're not considered proper residents. If there's no balabais, then everything is a chiyuv. Even less than 30 days, then they're all considered same boat, and there is a potentially requirement of Echad Seiris. Hotel Shalit, will that apply here, yes or no? It does. Why? There's a manager. Good. Now that's an interesting Shalit. The manager lives there. So I tell you what I remember. It depends on that Shalit. When I was a child, I remember I was very, very jealous of a person I knew was my age, who lived in the hotel in St. Moritz. He was part of his father was the owner of the hotel, and I thought, that's incredible. Such incredible. He lives the whole year in the hotel. It was almost amazing. It was almost, living in the hotel the whole year round. But when I got to know him a bit better, it's how dreadful this was. It was agony. It was terrible. He hated it. Because the whole year round, although the hotel was open for pretty much the whole year, but he absolutely hated it. He had no friends. He had no social, his own social life was limited to the guests who would come and then after a few days go again. And schooling was like, you know, an issue and a half. It wasn't up to standard because of the sporadic tkufas that he had to. And, you know, he couldn't really learn and progress properly. And the whole summer holidays and the winter holidays, which was quite extended, you know, the beginning and the tail end and everything in between. It was like many weeks of holidays. He was completely it wasn't a holiday anymore. He absolutely hated it. He had to work quite hard as well and do his part. And his parents were completely unavailable for many, many weeks a year. He was terrible. It was a terrible childhood. It was a really terrible childhood. You know, I was so jealous of him. You know, a guy like I said, Gantz Yopurim, you know, like the whole year he was like in holiday. But it was a very, very, it was a very difficult childhood. So, but that was because the mamash lived there. So in such a case, if the owner mamash lives there, here I'll agree with you that in such a case, there is no need for an erev chatzeres. Everybody who comes to the hotel is a guest. They may pay, they will pay, good and proper, but there are only guests. And therefore, whoever's there for less than 30 days, which in most cases, you know, that one is. So they are considered guests, and they don't have to do a chatzeres. However, it's not always the case. I don't know what the case is in. I don't know who owns the. I don't even know who owns the Normandy Hotel. It might make a difference as well. It's a shlech of the owner. I saw the shalip quoted in the poskim. What happens if the owner is a yid and the manager is a goy? Hobi da locha, then I'm not sure what the psak is. I'm not sure. I saw this discussion in the achronim. They own it. They wish they didn't. Oh, really? Really? Yeah. So the schnitzels are good. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Okay. At least something. So you can make an erech tzeis on the schnitzels, perhaps. Yeah. So the shayla is what will be the case if the managers and the managers actually live in the hotel? Even that they don't, no? They won't. So what's the halacha then? So here, perhaps, what would be the halacha if he goes to Erev Chatzeres? Will it be comparable to this or not? Probably you're going to say that there isn't, that p'tur doesn't apply. Because we said if the owner is there, everybody's considered a visitor, a guest. Here, if there's no owner around, then it wouldn't qualify because they're all considered guests and visitors. Nobody's more guests than anybody else. Yeah, and also, it's questionable, the managers in the first place are a bit questionable because are they considered the balabais? Managers considered balabais? Doubt it, right? And they change the whole time and there's shifts and duty. So pashtus not. What about this heter with regards to hospitals? The heter apply with regards to hospitals? 30 days or less. No balabais. Who's a balabais in hospital? Yeah. Chief executive of each hospital is considered the owner. I'm not sure if they don't live there. Yeah, hopefully they don't. So, Mr. Tomadahat wouldn't apply. NHS, yeah, us paying, yeah. Taxpayers. I don't know if we own it. I don't know what, we probably don't own it. We pay towards it. We've got the rights of paying. Yeah. Yeah, so the mice, this wouldn't apply. It would be no gear though for the camp, for the Shiloh summer holidays. A bungalow, summer camps. Are you there for 30 days or less? Normally. In America, sometimes more than 30 days, no? Yeah? Okay, so if it's more than 30 days, you're going to have to put an Erev Chatzeres, no doubt about it. If it's less than 30 days, this halacha may apply again. But, again, we have to question and ask as to whether there is a balabais around. If there's a balabais around, to the camps in America, they're owned by somebody. How does it work? So there is a balabais, it could even be the Rebbe, I don't know. So if that's the case, so there is somebody who owns it, and he is around, so you could argue that if it's less than 30 days, they're all considered oichim towards, and they don't have to, there's a p'tur of Erev Chatzeres. I really think that would probably be the halacha. There is an owner. There's somebody who owns it. Yeah, then what if the owner is a goy? It's discussed later, but I don't know if...
Because we had over the summer, we were in a holiday kind of house, right, which was part of three other houses, and the owner had a big house, and there were little holiday cottages in the owner's garden, and we were all in a little area in the garden.
If the owner's a guy...
We put up an error, though.
I do not remember. We'll get there, Mitzchem. We'll get the next semen, Mitzchem. We'll get there, Mitzchem. Okay, let's just give a little bit of a start for Simon Shin Ein Aleph, bottom of page 474. We're talking about a chotzer now. So there's established chotzer with a few people living there, and they're putting there a chotzer. But lo and behold, what happened was one of the residents in the chotzer died. Or he disappeared. He had to flee the country. You know, the tax reasons. Overnight, he had to run away. What happens then? Over Shabbos, he disappeared. Does that make a problem or not? If the fact that somebody died or disappeared. One of the residents of the Chotzer, which left his house, he disappeared and he went to a different Chotzer. He disappeared. He went away. It could even be that it's a neighboring Chotzer. He didn't make it all that far. He managed to, he went to Hendon. I don't know, he didn't go that far. But he's not anymore in the Chotzer. If from his mind he's already disconnected, and intention is not to return on Shabbos, it's considered if he's gone. He doesn't ask the remaining residents in the Chotzer. But when are we saying this? Pesol with regards to Yid, who left. But if it's the Goy resident who left, more about Goyim later, but just this detail over here. No. A goy who left is still an issue. He will ask her. It is problematic. Until his empty place has been refilled. He could always return at any time. So therefore, he's still considered a resident, although he may have left, but the goy could make his way back again on Shabbos. Remember, obviously, he doesn't have melachas, and he can make his way back on Shabbos. Therefore, as long as his house is not filled, he may come back. And therefore, he is asking on the others. But if he's gone all the way to America, takes longer than a day to return, then he will not ask. Some are more lenient. And he said, go, you left to the next chotzer, and he will not ask. And that's how we pasken. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, just to summarize what we learned this evening. We learned that if you've got, we learned about a tenant has one in front of the other, only the two inner ones need an Eruv Chatzeres. All the front eights are considered antechambers in Apotur. We learned about guests, if they are considered, if they're there for more than 30 days, they're considered permanent residents and they are chayiv. If they're less than 30 days, then, as long as there's a balabais, they're considered oichim and they don't need an Eruv Chatzeres. If there's no balabais, then they're all chayiv. For Erev Chatzes. And then we learned in Simon Shina and all of that, if there's a person who disappeared from the Chotzer on Shabbos, then if it's a Yid and his intention is not to return, he doesn't ask them. If it's a Goy, then he might come back at any time, and as long as it hasn't been filled, he is answering on the others. But some are Mekel as well with the Goy, and once he's gone and disappeared from different Chotzer, he doesn't ask them. That's how the Ramo Paskins Lemaisa. Rabbi Sai, I'd like to wish you tomorrow's Rede Bdikas Chometz. So, we better make sure that we do Bdikas Chometz properly so there won't be a shir. Subsequently, obviously, Yom Tov, Chol HaMoed, and the last day is Yom Tov, so we're going to have a little bit of a break. Pieces that we, Baruch Hashem, were quite, we managed to, well, on track in terms of. Yeah, very much so. Yeah, we're ahead. In fact, even when we return, we'll still be.
You were going fast, didn't you?
Yeah, I was going quite. I was making sure that we're not going to fall behind over Yom Tov. It's Pesach means that. Yeah. Yeah, Baruch Hashem. So that's okay. Rabbi Yisrael, we should all be zoichet to eat mina zvochim and apsochim this year, Mitzvah, and we should be able to have full koyches to absolutely, and we should absolutely, and we should be zoichet during the storm to have the right set tishmaet to the mitzvahs properly. All the mitzvahs, the mitzvah Reis, the mitzvah Rabbanon, and be able to inspire and bring on the torch to the next generation, Mitzvah Shem. Okay, so I wish you a very, very good Yom Tov and a kosher on Pesach.